This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, September 18th, and a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today is Wednesday. That means today is Man Down Mashup Wednesday, when we combine both shows together and where we analyze the news. Today, our subject is going to be on a topic that Erin Green started yesterday. Yesterday, she was doing an evaluation on the Progressive Liberal Party and their three-year reign so far. She was asking a listening audience on what grade they would give the PLP. And I challenged her, what is the prerequisite? What are you judging them on? We're going to take a different avenue for that, right? We're going to have a list of promises the PLP has put forward. And we'll evaluate the Progressive Liberal Party on that. And that's where our show is going to be. But actually, before we get to all of that, you know what? My guest here, you can stay for the whole hour before then, right?
Yes.
So let me start this program. No, I'll introduce my guests, right?
Yeah.
And let them know that they're here. And then I'll end with them also, yeah. Right? Let's do that. And then we'll start our regular program in terms of the evaluation and go with the grades.
Their contribution, I think, may be valuable in the conversation.
I don't like making a Dave in the politics.
I can get into it. I don't have no problem.
You sure you get into politics?
Yes, sir.
I
read the papers every day.
One half is...
My cousin works for government.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, plus, he's a junkanoo, and it causes problems.
Yeah.
No, I won't get it.
Yeah, okay, good.
I'm free and independent. I can do
it. I like free and independent men.
Yes.
Okay. It's supposed to be International Men's Day. And as every International Men's Day, my guest, Dave Williams, always have a march and rally, right? This year's Men's Day march and rally could be men, health champions. I'm not sure what he means by that, right? But Sunday, September 29th, that's not this week, that's next week, right? It's going to be a march and begins at Christie Park at 3 p.m. And we're going to go into detail about that. But I want to give a synopsis of that, if you can quickly, Dave. And give a synopsis of that. What is it exactly? And then I'll go back in my show, then I'll end back again with it. Is that good?
Excellent.
So, men's and boys' march rally. Tell me what exactly is going to be happening with that.
Yeah, so good morning, Bahamas. It's good to be here. Well, on the 29th of September, like you said, we will be doing a men and boys march with men health champions. And one of the issues we have with men is health. And so we want to celebrate the men who are working that area of bringing men to understand that their health is important. We also going to be celebrating some of our boys who are in that area as well too. And so the whole idea of the march is the coming together of men, bringing men together, but also to highlight the men who are working in those areas of health, like a Dr. Robin Roberts, mm-hmm. who's working with prostate cancer and all those sorts. So we want to highlight those areas where men need to make sure that these challenges that we face, that they go after them. And that's the whole idea. We want to talk about men becoming health champions, making sure they're healthy and making sure they're strong so they can be the providers, the protectors that God has called them to be.
So I'm assuming that there'll be some kind of general health screening on this march.
We are working towards that. We haven't got to confirm this yet, but we are working towards that, where there'll be some health screening while we're out there. But we haven't got to confirm yet, but we're working on it.
Okay, and I'm assuming that, as usual, you have a different various men's group who's going to be participating inside this?
Yes, we have a number of men's organizations who will be participating. We've sent out hundreds of letters to the men, and some have already confirmed. And so we're hoping that we have a great march with lots of men coming together, but also being able to show the positive side of men in our country. And, you know, we've had so many negative things about what's happening in our country with men. We want to show the positive, not forgetting the negative, but we want to showcase the positive.
You mentioned highlighting warriors inside this men's health arena. What do you mean by highlighting them? What you plan to do exactly?
Well, one of the things we're going to do is they will be a part of the march, but later on down in November, when we celebrate our International Men's Day, those are the type of men we will be honoring for International Men's Day. Some of the men who are basically are working in that area to make sure that our men stay healthy.
So it's going to be like over a month long. It's going to be September?
September. We're going to do something in September, something in October, and of course November 19th is International Men's
Culminates
Day.
Culminates to that.
Yes.
Okay, good. So now we can continue this conversation, but let me go back to my original agenda, and then we'll come back again in it, as we continue the conversation, go back and forth to make sure people are aware and stay in mind and in tune with it, right?
No problem.
So, Aaron, I need you to start reading for me.
All right.
Right? I need you to start reading for me because I want to evaluate the Progressive Liberal Party.
All right.
I want to do this evaluation based on the criteria, based on what they promise us.
In the blueprint for change.
In the blueprint for change.
All right. So when I looked at the blueprint for change, it's broken down into two parts, right? It's the commitments made, the promises made, and then the commitment to delivery, right? So we start with the 10-point plan, and then we look at the framework for delivery roadmap. Right. And so the first commitment the PLP make in their manifesto is we pledge to work smart to move the country forward.
So that's and of course, I'm going to include Dave Williams inside this. The PLP as a government pledged to work smart. What the next word phrase was?
To move the country forward.
And we could be moving forward. They're just letting you know what it is. Continue, right. Aaron.
I mean, I wanted to continue with commentary. Just
No. Yeah, I'm going to get all this out.
I want to assess that, man.
No, just quickly. All of that out. You come back to that.
Okay. Another interesting statement. Our blueprint for change, our blueprint outlines our short-term and midterm plan.
Short-term and midterm plan.
While our long-term plan will be bolstered by the National Development Plan.
We have a National Development Plan, Aaron?
Not only do we have a National Development Plan, that's the 10th point on the PLP blueprint for change 10-point plan. It's the 10th point, National Development Plan. And this is what that segment of the manifesto says.
Can we involve Dave? Mr. Williams, you familiar with the Bahamas National Development Plan?
No, I have not read it. I've heard of it. I have not read it. I was told that it's on a website.
It's called Vision 2040.
Vision, right, yes. I heard the Honorable Wayne Monroe. I heard him mention it before.
Is that the one where Ferguson from the former IBM, the former JA leader? What his name is? Ferguson, eh?
JA, you mean?
JA, Junior Achievement. I forget the name going for me, just because I'm thinking of it. Anyway, he said that he's going to bring back this 2040 plan.
Well, listen, the manifesto itself says this. The PLP will implement the National Development Plan initiated by the last PLP administration that provides a coordinated approach for inclusive national development to create a more resilient and vibrant Bahamas. Vision 2040 provides a roadmap for the future development of the Bahamas and includes a comprehensive policy framework that will guide government decision-making and investment over the next 19 years. The plan has been guided by extensive research, analysis, and widespread public consultation. I query widespread public consultation, aimed at addressing four main policy pillars: the economy, governance, social policy, and environment, natural and built environment. As part of the National Development Plan and in alignment with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals for the world, the PLP commits to the 17 goals set out under this initiative to be achieved by the year 2030. So okay. that's the 10th point on the 10-point plan. Point number one, rescuing the economy. Point number two, compassionate social relief and strengthened security. Point number three, reconstruction and resiliency. They're talking about the Abaco Hurricane Shelter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But go ahead. I want you to give so I can get
Bahamian empowerment.
Yes.
Four is Bahamian empowerment. Five is commitment to the Sovereign Wealth Fund and natural resources. We don't have a Sovereign Wealth Fund anymore. Did you know that? We have a National Investment Fund. Six, revolution in education. Seven, a progressive youth agenda. Eight, a healthy Bahamas. Nine, a plan for each island. And again, 10, national development plan. Now, the specific policy issues that you referenced yesterday, like Freedom of Information Act, right? Those commitments made by the PLP while in opposition, the party while in opposition, are listed in the 10th point on the plan, national development, under the heading Good Governance. Again, good governance is one of the four main pillars of the National Development Plan, or at least governance is. They say, we commit to good governance with integrity and accountability. So we could grade them on that. We commit to fully implementing the Freedom of Information Act, an Integrity Commission Act, Ombudsman Bill, New Public Disclosure Act, Anti-Corruption Act, Campaign Finance Reform, Code of Conduct, Whistleblower Act, Electoral Reform Act, and Procurement Act. That's number two. We could grade them on that too. You want to talk about that specifically?
Let's talk about that. So I want to get, like I said, Dave Williamson said that. Call these things out again.
All right.
I'm going to bait Dave Williams to have him respond, and then we comment on what he says. Right.
So the PLP's Blueprint for Change, 10-point plan, the 10th point is the National Development Plan.
Right.
And under that point, they indicate that they are using the National Development Plan and its four pillars, main pillars, good governance, economy, environment, and social policy. Under governance,
you ready?
The PLP says, we commit to fully implementing the Freedom of Information Act and Integrity Commission Act.
You're going fast.
Oh, okay. Freedom of Information Act.
Do you believe that this administration has implemented already? Has started the implementation already, or will implement it in the future?
I can say no, they have not implemented it. That's clear. That one is clear. They have not implemented it.
So we need to give a grade, Aaron. These are promises, and that we will be evaluating the PLP on their promises and their blueprint. So far, what grade do we give them for that?
Okay, so I am going to say this, right? I got to give the PLP party a D, and the Davis administration a E.
Okay, call the next one. So we go back to Dave again.
An Integrity Commission Act.
Integrity Commission Act.
As far as I can remember, and normally I read the papers each and every day, so as far as I could remember, right, I don't remember saying that also has been passed.
Let's go back to you, Aaron. I'm not even sure what an Integrity Commission Act is or what it means. I assume that's to rule corruption. That's what I assume.
Yeah.
That's what it is?
I think so. I wouldn't know. Given the last 3 years of it, I'm not sure if they understand what the word integrity means either.
Let's give them a grade.
Using the ministry, I had the Ministry of National, Ministry of Education's grading system yesterday. The bottom grade is an F.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to drop below that.
Okay.
I'd like to drop below that and give them a U.
Yeah.
Like unsigned. Like you, a U is like you couldn't even figure out how to sign your name on the exam paper. I given them a U.
Okay, again, we're evaluating the Progressive Liberal Party based on their plan. What they promised us that they're going to complete it within the 5 years. That's two. Let's go to the next one, Aaron.
Ombudsman Bill.
Let's go, Dave.
As far as I can remember, again, I don't remember seeing that pass in the House where that has been named. That's as far as I can remember off the top of my head. Now, in all fairness, I want to make sure that I get the opportunity to say to you, if I had to grade the PLP, I would give them a high grade, and I have a few.
No, we're only going on this list.
Right, all right, because I have a few points here, which
I only give you. I only give you the points which you get to grade them on, and as you say it,
yes,
I ain't let you add.
Okay, no, but right, but I'm just saying, right, because for me, and I'm saying it to say because for me, my focus. While these things has a great importance, but right now, for me personally, I want to know that the small man feeling the benefits of this particular government, and that's why I have a number of points, which
then
the
I can small let you, man... I can let you say that too.
Okay, good. No problem.
Go ahead.
All right.
We do have a financial services ombudsman, right? But in all of the conversation over the last few weeks about banking fees and the central bank and the government engaging... addressing, intervening. There was no mention of the financial services ombudsman in that conversation. And then it struck me, maybe the financial services ombudsman is not for Bahamians and financial services, is for foreign investors and investors in financial services. Maybe we need a specific banking ombudsman.
Okay. We need a great evaluation.
F.
Okay, give me another listing. What they promise us now. What they promise us.
New Public Disclosure Act.
Go ahead, Dave Williams.
Public disclosure. Again, that's an area, again, like I say, I think that there's so much more could be done in terms of public disclosure. So, and if you're specifically referring to the MPs, you're not talking about them.
Yeah, the public disclosure.
But they have, in my opinion, they have not done anything with that. It hasn't changed compared to the last.
Let's go back to Aaron. We're still doing the evaluation.
You. Yeah. That's when you couldn't even figure out how to sign your name properly.
My party has done tremendous work now. So I'm not...
On the Public Disclosure Act.
I know we've beaten them up, and I'm not saying that they haven't worked. I'm just going based on what they promised me. They promised me some things. Give me some other things they promised me, and we're going to evaluate them based on what they promised me.
Anti-Corruption Act.
Let's go back to Dave Williams.
I think there's so much more could be done in that area. Also, anti-corruption. I think the bar on that has been moved minimally. Yeah, I the kind of movement I would expect to see has not been to the level where I would have wanted.
If I didn't trust you as being independent, Dave, I was going to be concerned about your commentary. Uh-huh. I know you're a good man, so I'm not going to judge you because you sound like you're anti my government. Anyway,
no, I've been honest.
I understand. I'm just saying I'm concerned. Right. I'm going to go back to Aaron. Aaron, I need a grade.
You're on the Anti-Corruption Act?
That's what I want, anti-corruption. They promised me that.
You.
Man, Aaron, you've degraded my government too hard, man. But go ahead. Give me something else.
No, man. See, I gave Freedom of Information Act an F because at least they talk about it.
They did talk about it.
Have you heard anybody talk about an Anti-Corruption Act?
Never. I never heard anyone talk about it.
Okay, then. The next one is campaign finance reform.
I know we're getting a good grade on this. Let me go to Dave. Dave, campaign finance reform. My government did something.
Based again on what we just read in the papers, I think it was just last week, where we see where both parties refuse to disclose who the donors are, where one said, well, they'll disclose if the other disclose, or one said they'll disclose if the individuals give permission to.
And then one of them said, what you talking about, Willis?
You know, so again, the poll has not moved in regards to campaign finance reform. Not to be able to like.
You want a good grade, Cecil?
I need a grade and a positive grade.
Oh, you need a good grade?
Yeah.
My pen ran out of ink.
Yeah.
I got to get a new pen. Uh-huh. Is that good enough?
I'll give you my pen, but go ahead.
Is it red?
No.
I
need a grade because I know the Progressive Liberal Party is doing things.
Yeah.
But these are things that they promise us, which I'm grading based on what they promise me.
Yes.
Not no extra things they ain't promised me, you know.
Right.
Because I know they're doing things. But based on what they promised me, I need a grade 4 to evaluate them on.
But here's what I would say. As I look at these things, and I want them to happen like men, the average citizen, right? But to me, what is more important, and maybe it may be a plan now.
More important than what you promised me?
No. What I'm saying to you, there are many promises. What I'm saying to you, maybe there may be a plan to tackle in various stages, various pillars, right? So
we have two
right
more
now,
years.
But think of it. The average man, again, and I'm going to look at the persons who I'm dealing with on the street, they're more happy, they're more concerned about increasing their raise, promotion, the small contracts, the union contracts, fixing BPL where I just come from, where I retired. I mean, dealing with the Port Authority and increasing the rail property
they
tax.
They promised me any of that? I don't know if they promised
Maybe they may not have promised you it in the Blueprint for Change.
So
but
you're
my
trying
point
to
is,
say they doing things they
right,
ain't promised me?
No, what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, you have to affect everyday persons. They have the people on the ground.
The list I gave you wouldn't affect everyday people?
Not to the extent that these ones I just named are affecting me. The everyday man or woman, boy or girl on the street, we feel that. And so if I had to grade them, I would grade the PLP overall a B.
Okay.
If I had to personally,
let's
the small man, grassroots person, they need to feel these things, yes, to come. But right now, at the end of the day, telling me about the Freedom of Information Act, what you talk about, the various national development plan and all of that is long-term things.
Long-term?
At the end of the day, if I'm only making $200 a week and I can't pay my light, they're not my focus now. You see?
Let's talk about it. So we can stick a pin. We're going to go back to those specific commitments because the list isn't finished yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to point two of the 10-point plan, which is compassionate social, which is what I think you're talking about, Dave.
You believe they're doing a good job on compassionate. Say it again. Where is it again?
Compassionate social relief and strength and security.
Yes, they're doing a good job, but they can do more.
Yes, they're doing a good job, because we're talking about, again, the small man,
but
average, everyday citizen, right?
But let's see what they promised they were going to focus on and whether they are making strides in that direction or whether what they are doing actually encapsulates the promises that they made. Basics of life with dignity. Ensure that Bahamians can hold their heads up high with dignity in spite of challenges experienced.
Yes.
I hear that, but then I remember the minister talking about having to run certain kinds of people off of Bay Street. Right? Through partnerships with social services, urban renewal, and civil society, including the churches, we will work to ensure that every Bahamian has life skills, food to eat, clean water, and a roof over their head. I mean, the housing crisis, not only has the housing crisis not been addressed, but the government in talks with Bahama to open another 400-room hotel. I don't see anybody in talks with anybody to open a 400-room, a 100-room, a 20-room affordable housing project.
Let me ask you a question now, Dave.
Oh, go ahead.
My good minister, Joe Bett Kobe, is building houses like crazy. They're popping up. No, hold on. Right. They're popping up like popcorn.
But hold on.
But it isn't enough. No.
All right, go ahead.
I need an apartment complex would have like 400 or 500 houses. You hear anything about that yet?
To answer you, no. But I've seen an improvement compared to, say, the last government. An
improvement in apartments?
No, in housing.
You're trying to say 400 apartments that pop up?
No, not apartments. But what I'm saying is the housing. I've seen the improvement.
See, improvement in housing doesn't solve my problem. I need 1,000 houses now.
Yeah, but see, the journey begins with the first step. For me, the person who don't have a home, and I now have an opportunity to have a house.
Okay,
that matters to me because that affects my wife, my children.
Let me ask you this. I'm making $250, mm-hmm. as you know,
right.
minimum wage,
yeah.
can I afford to buy a house?
On that salary, no.
Should I get access to a rental dwelling?
Well, at this point, you obviously, if you don't have a house, you're living in a rental dwelling.
I live in my car in Shantytown and on the beach. I'm trying to find out, is the government responding quick enough for those people who are making $250 by making apartments?
For me, first of all, persons living in the car is maybe a point one or point two. So for us to highlight that as if though that's a majority or that's an extreme amount, that's a very minimum, small amount of individuals.
What about Grand Bahama?
Living in, for the times I've been there this year and last year, I'm going to Abaco hopefully this weekend, right? But when I was there last year, I didn't see no bunch of persons living in cars. Now the persons I have read living in cars were those who when the shanty towns were raised. Now, if you were not here legally and you're living illegally,
They're determined that all of them legal. The majority of them.
Gentlemen, we got to go to the break. Dave, I can give you the disclaimer in the commercial break. Uh-huh. Caller, please hold the line. We're going to get you on the other side of the break. Oh, Mr. Williams, I'm glad there's two groupers in here with me today. Here,
you're getting beat up.
But that one over there ain't taking the bait. Don't take the bait.
No, he's
we coming back and we can talk about the men's match again, right? Wait on us. We coming right back. Guardian Radio and the AM. We giving the PLP the grade based on what they promise us. Only based on what they promise us, not what these other extra things. Cause we glad of those extra things, but based on they promise us, ain't much getting done. Look like we'll be right back.
Jump in your Japanese import and you turn the radio on. All you hear is for the month of September, the HitSpot will install a band extender in your Japanese import for the discounted rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your band expander installed today at the HitSpot and listen to
Star 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, this is CA Nuri. We have some callers on the line. But I just want to remind you, Aaron, before you go, that you got to go to HitSpot. You got to go to HitSpot to get this band extender. Of course, it's only $80. If you mention Guardian Radio AM in the morning or On the Clock with Aaron Green, they give you this $80 discount. This includes VAT, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're able to listen to us wherever you are in Nassau, wherever you are throughout the island of New Providence, and without no problem. No problem. Mm-hmm. And that's the HitSpot. It's all through the month of September. right, all through the month of September, and just mention the show and you get that $80 discount. But go ahead. You
wanted to I wanted to put a disclaimer out there. Mr. Williams was not invited to the show to engage in this political assessment. When you sneak attack me, when two men sneak attack me in the hallway, you may get karate chopped.
Yes.
So I want to apologize, Mr. Williams, if my...
He's a big man. He's man.
Yeah.
This is a man's movement.
It could get worse. I'm not apologizing for what happened in the past. I'm apologizing for what could happen in the future.
I will invite him back.
I'm enjoying the conversation.
Okay,
let's go to the caller first, and then we go to the men's march and what they're doing again. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Aaron, again. Good morning, Mr. Neary, and good morning, Mr. Williams.
Morning.
Morning.
Mr. Williams, you were saying you did a lot about how what the government is doing today impacts the small man.
Yes.
You know, and then Mr. Neary asked you a question about those who are making minimum wage. How would they be able to afford a housing?
Yes.
But what Mr. Neary did not add to that is how would they be able to get the lights on? How will they be able to afford groceries? How, after paying this rent now that they are paying, whereas the affordable housing complex would be much more better. Because what they call low-cost homes, ain't no low-cost to that. There is no low-cost to that. You understand? And there is no way that they seem to be moving in the direction of making it affordable for someone. Because, like you say, it's only a very minute amount of person maybe staying in their car. But there's a huge amount of person on that low pay scale that is not eligible for a home.
In fact, they are less than 1 month's paycheck away from living in their car.
Exactly. So what do you see out of the list of stuff that the government had promised? How do you see any of those promises leading to help that category of person? That's what I would like to hear your response on.
I
apologize for keeping you in the directions away from where you came.
Okay, can I answer that?
Yeah.
Okay, so again, as I was saying to you, remember now, my focus, I'm looking at the everyday man and woman, boy or girl. One example is increasing the minimum wage. So right away, I look at the fact that now I have an extra, I only had 210, 215, whatever, I don't remember. Right now, I have an extra $50 a week. One. Two, when I look at the numerous promotions, this...
You know, what do you call it? Was workable wage and minimum wage?
Livable wage.
Hold on, let me make sure. Our government has moved the bar from 215 to 250. It's great. Something to celebrate.
Right.
But the livable wage is $430. Or anything about that is called the workable poor.
But people are so poor. Again, for me, that depends upon, individuals' lifestyle and a number of other factors. But the point is, if I'm only making 215 and now I'm making 250,
you're still right? poor.
Right. So, that's okay. Right, but at least I now have $35 more. To do some, because we
can't.
Right.
Hold on, stick a pin.
Right.
Right? You're telling me that the government made a decision
mm-hmm.
to, in because here's what it says, in that we're still in that same section, we were in section number two, compassionate social relief, right? We're still in that same section. And the government says, right, that the cost of living is well beyond the means of middle and low income Bahamians. We will review minimum wage.
That?
To phase in a livable wage, right? So you reviewed the minimum wage to phase in a livable wage. You decided to increase it by $35. So you telling me that the work that you were doing in assessing the livable wage, you didn't sit down and say, hold on, but we got these other by them over here negotiating an increase in NIB contributions, right? We have the gas retailers negotiating an increase in the fuel margin, so the cost of gas is going to go up. You know that the cost of electricity has gone up, right? So even if I will accept that raising the minimum wage was a good job, then I can give the government an E on performance because they didn't realize that what they were increasing would be eaten up entirely within decisions made in the next 2 months?
Well, if you look at it too, in all fairness, if I can remember, the Minister Pia Glover did talk about even a future increase. Now, when that'll happen, I don't know, right? So she did talk about that. So like everything else, if we look at it in that stage and there's a further increase coming, which would counteract all of these
So you want to give her a grade for talking about it? Just give her a grade for talking about it.
I'll give her a grade for the amount of promotions that I heard, that I read about in the public service. dealt with numerous promotions, right? So right away, that means a number of points.
But why are we, hold on, but why are we promoting people? Are we promoting people because performance has improved and the government is delivering more? Or are we promoting people because their bargaining instrument mandates that they must be promoted, which is a big difference.
Well, your reason or my reason is just as good. The point is, we leave that to the professionals who make that decision. At the end of the day, if they decide to promote an individual, then based
Hold on, you mean the union leaders?
I'm not saying the management and supervisory. Unions don't recommend promotion. Management and supervisory.
But the
union fight for it.
But the unions and
right.
The
unions fight for it. But
the unions and the PLP, David. The unions and the PLP and opposition devised the MOU. They say they govern in via the MOU.
Well,
let's go to the caller. And let me just talk about men. Men help too. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hi, Mr. Dury and Aaron and Mr. What's his name?
Mr. Williams.
How
yes.
How are you doing, sir?
Wonderful.
Okay. Is the phrase wipe the tears off every eye? That sounds familiar to you?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the old PLP. We in the new PLP.
Pardon me?
That's the old PLP.
That's
the
ND.
New
that, but that, anyway,
no, that,
forgive
that,
me,
that's
ma'am.
Something fresh I remember when this government came into power.
Yeah, they did utter it. I don't know why right? But what Nuri is indicating is that is a term that the Davis administration borrowed from the Perry Christie administration.
Okay. No, that's before that. That's Pinglin.
That, right?
Hold on, listen. And the Perry and then the Perry Christie administration borrowed that time from the Pinlin administration, the same
but
way.
But that's the PLP overall.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? They for the poor.
They so they say.
They for the tear, and they for the persons who in the downtrodden and the persons who hurting, right?
Right. Before you go forward, ma'am, and in good
okay,
faith.
I say,
hold on. Before you go forward, your mommy ever beat you and then come and wipe the tear out your eye? Your mommy ever beat you to tears and then come and hug you up and say, come here, let me wipe
I love
the
you.
Yeah.
I love you.
Okay.
But I had to do that, right?
Yeah, go on.
Okay. I said that to say, I heard Mr. Williams saying a while ago that the minimum wage, right? Minimum wage and livable wage is two things different. You may increase the minimum wage, and as for me, I work for myself, but I'm talking for persons who I see on a day-to-day hurting. Because even so, you may be working and making it, but when you go in that food store, you feel it just like everybody else, okay? Sure enough, the minimum wage might have raised. But to whose benefit? Because persons are hurting still, because most of the persons who are on minimum wage is done working from paycheck to paycheck. When you raise the minimum wage, how could I say thank you? When I go to the BPL, my bill is extremely high. When I go to Mr. Roberts' establishment, I told it I done can't afford. When I reach to the cashier, we are hurting, okay? You could do whatever you do, but unless I could say, well, I see a relief, I feel a relief, I see things getting better, I could, and how I know things getting better? When I get my paycheck in my hand and those dollars stretch a little bit longer, okay? That's all making sense to the people in this country today.
Thank you very much.
Happening.
Can I say a statement? She said a statement?
Yeah, we got to be grateful, Eugene. Go ahead.
You said a statement, and I want you listening to hear. Listen to the statement. If tomorrow the Bahamas discovered some massive wealth, and every Bahamian receive $1 million, have you heard the statement that the majority of the money will go back in the hands of the same 85% of the people who have the monies now? Why? It is a matter of what they use this term, priority. Central Bank indicated a few years ago 85% of Bahamians had $1,000 or less in the bank. And I think if we look at that data today, that ain't changed for the last 10, 15, 20 years. My point is, since this Guardian and this real talk, the problem is the majority of us, we do not prioritize. You put the monies in our hands today, we just went through COVID, and guess what? If COVID hit us tomorrow, you'll find the majority of us in the same shoe. Why? Because we're still living above our means,
pause.
And we're spending as if though there's no tomorrow.
Listen,
that's really the problem.
No, that's not
but
the,
I try to stay away from that.
That's not the problem. The problem is that a political class has created an illusion. They need Bahamians to believe that they got money to spend for the illusion that they are maintaining a functioning economy and a functioning country to be real. That's all it is.
No, I would if say the government, we believe in that as individual. I'm believing that because now this money flowing. All of a sudden, I got this money, so what am I doing? Has I changed my lifestyle? Has I adopted? No, I am now spending again like there's no tomorrow, and tomorrow is a new set. And then when the next whatever crisis hit me, I back to square one.
I ain't sure if you're talking about the Bahamian people or the PLP government.
I speak in general about people. So I'm saying.
Let's go through this list. Let me read this text. Good morning, Aaron. The employees are well deserving of their promotions, but unfortunately, there are still so many employees who are waiting to be reclassified and promoted with absolutely no update from public service. Please bring Miss Minister Glover Roll on your show because many government workers are being ignored.
Go ahead. I get you.
But I want to read two or three more.
Read the text, and then we get a call on the line.
I'm going to call on. Need me two more of those things listing.
From the compassionate social relief and strengthened security portion, number the second point on the plan. So they said they would focus on the cost of living and reducing poverty. Very general terms. Under the previous PLP administration, the minimum wage was increased by 40%. Mm-hmm. The RISE program, the PLP will introduce a RISE program, which provides substantial benefits to many families. Additional enhancements to social programs will be developed with innovative solutions that allows the most vulnerable to take control.
I think that is happening.
And I mean, without $25,000, it could be happening. But I mean, minus the $25,000. Remember the $25,000?
The one where they get for the memorial for
the second memorial for Obi Wilshcombe. Not the first, not the only, the second one.
That money could be used to benefit some social program, but unfortunately, the handicapped challenged people said they don't need the money. It could go towards food.
Mortgage for the reunion at Bahama Food.
Yeah, Bahama
not
Food.
Not regular food.
Yeah.
Mortgage relief, work with banks to keep Bahamians in their homes. I don't know what that means.
I'm not sure if that's happening. Is that happening?
Rent relief, review and augment rental assistance program and increase funding to social services for rental assistance. Work with tenants and landlords to reschedule rent payments in line with short-term ability to pay. I don't see anything here about rental and rental and mortgage reform. I don't see nothing there.
I'll give them a regulation.
I
give them a C grade for that.
I can't.
I see there's a rental unit where you could go and complain.
There's always been one. That's not new.
Really?
I see we disagree greatly.
What
on
grade
this
you
one.
Give them?
F.
Yeah, let's go to the phone line. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Oh, you're calling.
I'm sorry,
caller.
Rent relief, homelessness. We will work with civil society, including churches, to establish a halfway safe house program for the most vulnerable in our society.
Someone's working on a halfway house. The gentleman on Wolf Road there.
That's Great Wolf Commission? Road.
Great Commission.
Angel?
Yeah.
Good morning, sir.
Then and that lady who's doing for
Candy.
Candy.
We got a halfway house prison fellowship. We have a halfway house.
You all have a halfway house?
Been
government?
In existence for 20 years.
Who sponsors that?
Prison Fellowship Bahamas.
How many beds?
We could house 15 maximum.
15 men.
That's tremendous that you are able to assist 15 people in that way, but 15 beds is nothing.
I agree. It'd be on 2 acres of property. With the right partnership, there's room for expansion. As a matter of fact, now that you mention it, I was mentioning that to the prison officials when we were talking about the probation, about partnering with us to extend that to build.
Who do you want to partner with? Or who should partner with you?
I think the government should be first and foremost.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should be first and foremost.
Should.
But also someone just contacted me, actually asked me about us putting a proposal together to touch base with some of the other NGOs to get financing to extend. Because we're sitting on 2 acres of property right now. We only can house 15 at the max.
Yeah, but you could house a minimum of 50 plus. You could house several income generating mechanisms like a wash house, right? Like a farm and a processing center.
Yes.
A number of things, like a carpentry workshop. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, morning. What's up, man?
Everything's good.
Listen, here's what the government is doing. As the government.
Hold on. We have a list. We know what the government's doing.
I piggyback on your list.
Okay.
I'm talking about
the increase
in salaries.
Okay.
As you increase the civil servant salary, so goes the taxes. So as you give it, you take it away. There are things this government could do immediately that could take some of the burden off the Bahamian people.
Give me two things.
Okay, remove the tax off breadbasket items. Reduce or remove the tax on essential items that people need in their everyday life. Mm-hmm. Reduce the tax on gasoline so people can move freely. reduce the tax on just licensing your car so that more people could drive to and from work instead of clogging up the bus system.
No, no, wait, stop. I love you. I love you very much, cousin. Stop. We need more buses.
And less cars.
But be less it may. Okay, remove or reduce the tax on boat registration so that you can have more people in the family islands.
That's not just
a tool for work. That's their transportation mode.
Yeah, I for that. I ain't got no problem with that.
So reduce the tax on small boats.
Mm-hmm.
This people's livelihood, like I say, and let's say, for instance, in Speed and Ski, people use their boat to take their kids to school.
So, Carl, I let you go right now, but I want you to give them a grade on that, what you list just now.
I'll give them a D.
The D on that.
Because there are things they could do immediately, that could affect change.
Okay.
They don't have to go through Parliament. They could fix that immediately.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, read one more thing, Aaron. What else list?
So let's go back to homelessness, the disabled, tackling crime, expunging records.
What do you think? We're sponging records now, right? The government
They have a process in place where they have a number of persons who I know personally have already had the record expunged.
Finally, a good grade.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Williams.
And they are continuing.
Okay, so we're going to give them a C minus on this one. We talked about this particular issue. Don't laugh, cousin.
She's great, man.
C minus.
But I'll tell you why specifically. Uh-huh. Because when they announced the expungement program specifically for people with marijuana arrests, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to call them. You have to be aware of the program. You have to call them and petition them to expunge your record. Like they say, well, if he didn't know he could get his record expunged, that's on him. He probably in the bush smoking weed. That's why he don't know. No, it's the approach to it. And because of the, you can tell by the way that it was designed that the approach is wrong.
And government empowering RASTA to go inside the marijuana business now?
No.
No?
Not at all. In fact, let me just emphatically.
C-. You see how the grade just dropped?
Let me state that emphatically that the government is not empowering Rastafarians to go into business. Rastafarians, like all Bahamians and some foreigners, have an opportunity to create or invest in one of the businesses, but the personal or the sacramental use and organizational sacramental use licenses are not about generating income.
Let's quickly go to this caller. Go ahead, caller. Mm-hmm. Caller?
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yes, you know what the government could have done? I have a D for them, but I think I can drop it to an F. Because with the last declaration they made with the staff, why didn't just take 10 cents off their tariff and let the Bahamian people pay the next 10 cents and not just suffice the gas people?
Gas margin, yeah. Why they don't take 10 and we take the next 15? Because it's 25 cents.
When gas go up, it's still going to be hitting on the backs of the Bahamian people. And we don't get so much tax on us. They say no taxes, but they just keep upgrading a little something on something, you know?
Okay, I appreciate you, Nicola. Let's quickly read this whole list so we go. Are we going to go break again?
It's time to take a break and eat some hog bun, Mr. Uri.
Yes. When we come back, we talk about men's health. We can talk about men's health. We can talk about the march and the rally. And then we'll continue this conversation tomorrow.
We can talk about the Code of Conduct, Whistleblower Act, or Electoral Reform Act.
Right? I want to let Dave listen to them things too. But anyway, Guardian Radio AM. Wally is on the run. So you know, we get all the commercial breaks today, right? We'll be right back.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Hi, join me every Wednesday for The Urologist Speaks, a brand new talk show here on Guardian Radio. Each week, my co-host Julian Reed and I will be discussing an array of health topics related to men, women, and children, such as men always being able to rise again and women regaining control of their bladder and many, many more. The Urologist Speaks, Wednesdays from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. I'm just going to make sure, because we have guests here, and we want to make sure get their information out as we continue our conversation, right? This is going to be a march. There's going to be a march. I'm taking up my notes now. September 29th, which is going to be a Sunday. Why you always put it on a Sunday, though? Why can't a march be on a Saturday?
You don't want the men to watch football?
Well, we had it on a Saturday before. It was not well supported.
No, we got better response for Sunday.
Okay,
Sunday
right.
Sunday is better response.
Yes.
Okay.
So
okay.
This march is going to be from 3 p.m. How long this march is going to be?
The march is about an hour. We start from at 3 p.m. We start from Christie Park, and we're going to go on to Princeana Drive from Christie Park, and then on to Blue Hill Road, and then on to Meadow Street, and back on to Nassau Street, back to Christie Park.
Okay, and...
And then following that, we're going to have a rally.
You all have any food or anything happening at this...
Yeah, food would. We're allowing some of the men organizations to come in and sell, so they can make some money for their organization.
So when you say men organizations, like what? Like what? Like who?
Like Israel for Christ, like men of today, men of tomorrow. Organizations that we have, BFM men, number of men who have said they would be a part of it. So they're going to be able to get their stalls and sell their wares if they're necessary. Also, they can advertise their organization. They can give information about the organization.
Last march was huge. I mean, you all had so many different men and boys group out. Do you expect that many groups to come out again?
We're hoping that it'll be bigger.
It'll be bigger?
We're hoping that it'll be bigger, yeah. We've invited more groups out. We're looking for some of our lodges to come out. We've invited all organizations to carry men to
motorbike
come out.
Groups.
Of our churches, the motorbike groups, the anti-car groups, we've invited all of them to come out to be a part.
Awesome. Because it now became like a fair now, something to experience where men come on display different aspects of what they're doing, manly things, right? I know you mentioned the car, I saw that before, where the anti-cars come and it's on display,
right?
How do men's group, young boys group,
yes,
right, who are listening, who are just hearing that you having this big march and this big display afterwards, right? How do they call you to say, man, let me bring my young boys out here. Let me bring my soccer team out here.
Now they can reach out to me. They can contact me at 803-4423. And they can reach out to Elder Dave as well, too.
Yes, that's 433-6917. And what I wanted to share, gents, I want to thank you and thank Aaron Green for making me famous coming on Guardian Radio. So I'm looking for the invitation next week. While I'm on here, and you know, I always talk about ministry in prison.
Mm-hmm.
So I have numerous persons would approach me. Oh, you always talk about the prison. I want to be a part of it. Well, they have an opportunity now, right? Tomorrow, there's a meeting, 6 o'clock, at William Thompson Church. What is it?
Faith United
Missionary Church.
Baptist Church.
6 o'clock. We're making the opportunity now for men who say they want to get involved in what they call cell block ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you had to come to a chapel, and obviously only so much can come to a chapel. Now they have a program where you go actually to the cell. And of course, there you have the security protocols and whatever. So I just want to make sure it is not that it's open. But 6 o'clock tomorrow, all you men who always approach me, say you want to be a part of prison ministries, you want to get involved, meet me at Faith United Baptist Church, Dr. William Thompson Church, 6 o'clock tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
It's just for men. We're starting out with men now.
Blue Hill Road South.
Be there, and we're having a discussion. We want
to
start next
week. Give me your number one
week.
More time so they can call you.
You're right. My number is 433-6917. 433-6917. And then we're having a forum. I got to mention that too. This is in Paul's Baptist Church. You know anything with men for me. Next Wednesday, we're going to talk about blended families. That's a big thing. That's a big thing for me. We're going to talk about blended families, why men are silent, a number of topics. That's 7 o'clock at St. Paul's Baptist Church, Fox Hill Road. So we're looking for all men there to sit down, to have a forum, and to discuss strictly men issues.
Why blended families? Fantastic, fantastic topic.
Yes,
absolutely.
In my own life, I could talk about, I have a whole story of it, and many men, whether they're in marriage, whether they're in girlfriend, boyfriend, relationship, that has been a challenge. And I've had men who have come to me and talked to me. There are times I can remember when I went through an experience and persons approach me, I'm going through mine. I really feel like I'm in no position to counsel them with theirs. But that seems to be a challenge. The challenges we have when we bring in children in our marriage or our relationship.
And how authority works in alternate like families. Listen, dear men, if your wife is, I come in too, then this is a perfect opportunity for you to say, oh, baby, you can't come this time. It's men only.
Yeah, be word open.
And go in that space and enjoy that space also for families. Bring your daughters out to the march so that they can begin to identify how you find good men. How do you know if a boy is a good boy? Look at what he does, his spare time, the organizations he work with. Bring your children out. Yes. See young boys, you can see.
Yes.
You're looking for a mentor. He's the type of boy that you're looking for.
Definitely.
Now, we'll talk back about the march again.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Starting from Christie
Park. Christie
Park.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you end in where again?
Back at Christie Park.
Back at Christie Park. And at the end of the march, what happens?
At the end of the march, there will be a rally and concert. So we'll have a number of speakers speaking to health issues. And also we have a number of male performers who will be performing as well.
And it's free, right? Just come.
Everything is free. Just come and be a part.
And of course, I can bring some money so I can buy some things.
Bring some money so you can buy some things.
And we want the ladies coming with the signs and the placards. I support our men. So make sure, let the ladies come. Yeah, support the men.
It's like a big fair, like an activity
that
you can do.
And what to do, encourage all the participating groups to host an event where they build the placards, right? So say they bring some snack and some drink and buy the cardboard paper and bring the pieces.
Yes, we're also creating some signs. One of the exciting things this year, we've never done before, we're going to have the parade led with a Junkanoo banner. You know, the Saxon rallies have that kind of banner.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to create that kind of banner. So we'll see as we go down, so we're going to have different men on that banner being celebrated as well.
Right, because if y'all could get someone to donate the markers for the placard making, then when y'all done with the markers, you could donate them to the community centers and the urban renewal programs that those organizations are in communities with,
Could
hand it over.
What y'all doing to get the word out about this march?
So we have created our flyer, of course, that's gone viral so far. Now we are doing our talk shows, and we're going to have a press conference going on. And I always believe that the biggest advert is word of mouth. So we're spreading that word everywhere we go. We're sharing the word about the march. We're sharing the word about men.
You know what to do? Y'all go out to the St. Agnes having their fair. Y'all go participate in that, and then you could snag all the Anglican men's councils.
I will be at the street festival.
Right, you could get all the Anglican men's councils.
I'm the only non-Anglican who's be around Anglican.
There you go.
And don't forget the invitation next week for a chance for us again to come on and promote and talk about whatever issues you want to talk about.
Well, since he was such a grateful, open guest and was willing to take some chafing and some baiting today, I say I'm open for it.
Good.
Certainly, Mr. Williams. Just a quick text. I don't know how many we can get through, but this one says, good morning, Ms. Green. I was grading as you read the 10-point plan. Number 1-0, number 2-0, number 3-0, number 4-0, number 5, the bar was moved. 1, they give him a 1. Number 6, throw a few stones at them. A 0. Number 7, I stopped keeping score. I tired, as the texter said. My grade on the government on economy, growth, and development is B, but support and development of Bahamians is D+. That's from the mayor of Grand Bahama. Blessing CA, tell my beloved hero, brother David Williams, I enjoy him on the show. Please come more often. By the way, the real reason why, if you give masses a couple millions, they will end up back where they are. The rich or wealthy will end up even richer, that the masses don't have the knowledge and training of what to do with their money. Anyway.
We will continue our evaluation of the Progressive Liberal Party for the last 3 years, but we're going to use what they promise us. What they promise us, and then evaluate that. Of course, we know that government is doing wonderful things. We're not talking about that in general. Just about things that they put in their blueprint, that they promise us, that we are concerned about. And we're going to put their feet to the fire and remind them, yes, you promised me this. I demand that you live up to it.
Listen, y'all gay, come out to this event because they got stew veggies.
Yeah, so y'all...
And boiled veggies. Veggie sauce and stew veggies. Demand them know what we want.
Well, we got to go. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
I'm going. I'm taking a team to...